Well, we've been a minute and 13 seconds in, and I want to welcome you to another broadcast, another episode of the Evening Devotional with Pastor Justin Pierce, Grace Reformed Baptist Church. I want to welcome you to this live streaming podcast, webcast, I don't know what you call it, to be honest with you. I'm outside today, and I wanted everybody just to be able to hear the birds singing and the music of God's creation, excluding the cars, if you can hear the cars. I'm outside today. We've been burning wood and trash and stuff, not household trash, but just the trash in the yard. And we've just been taking our time cleaning up and, you know, just doing what's fun for boys and men, I guess, is to, you know, clean the yard up and make everything look nice and, you know, get rid of the weeds and, you know, just try to make everything look good. It's God's creation. He wants us to take care of it. And so we've been taking the time just today to clean up and to thank God for everything he's done for us. And I want to take just a second. And nobody's on at this second, and I'm going to have to get the camera back in order and all that. But I want to take a second. If you guys don't know what this tree is, this beautiful tree right here is a dogwood tree. And it is just, it's in our yard, and this tree is absolutely beautiful right now. I just wanted everybody to be able to see that. Let me get this back in focus. There we go. I just wanted everybody to be able to see that. That is just a gorgeous tree. You know, God gave us the beauty of creation to glorify his name, and we should take the time to you know, be thankful and grateful for what all he's done. I hope that things are going well with you and that you're not having too much crisis today. For those of you that are actually having issues and having problems, especially with you know, maybe a loss of the job or maybe, you know, health, you know, safety, things like that, I want to pray for you, and I do want to take a moment just to pray that God will protect you and keep you safe and allow you to find a good paying job and be safe and that you'll be healthy. You know, I had a dear brother that I've gotten to know through his podcast, is James Watkins. He actually had the coronavirus, and he said it was awful, you know, and God blessed him to be able to make it through that coronavirus. So, you know, that was a scary thing for him, is that he was able to make it through that, you know, and he was kind of scared at the time, you know, what's going to happen to him. So let's pray for a minute, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come before you and exalt your name and thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us and just for this glorious creation, Lord. We see in Scripture, Lord, that, you know, that we hear in Lamentations and we hear in Job about, you know, the futility of life without you, and about the fact that you are the giver of life and you take life away, God, and we trust you. As the Scripture says, Lord, shall we not receive good from you and the bad? We recognize you are the sovereign God of the universe, and we praise you for everything. Lord, I think about, you know, the Casting Crown song, I will praise you in the storm, Lord, for you are worthy in every situation to be exalted. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are on Proverbs chapter 20 today. This is the 20th of April. And we're on Proverbs chapter 20. And as I was reading through this, it struck me about the actions, the attitude, the character, the ways of a child and a man, and the difference between children act and adults act. And when I say man, I'm not specifically talking about men, you know, totally, you know, men and women, mankind, the older male and female. I was thinking about, you know, just the difference between the children and the adults. And if you start out and you read this passage, it says, wine is a mocker and strong drink a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion, and whoever provokes him to anger forfeits his life. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Wow. I don't know if I could have gotten a title better than The Ways of Children and Men. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. The purpose of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. A king who sits on the throne of judgment winnows all evil with his eyes. Who will say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin? Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Listen to this one. Every child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. Bad, bad, says the buyer. But when he goes away, then he boasts. There is gold and an abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for foreigners. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Plans are established by counsel. By wise guidance, wage war. Verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. If one curses his father and his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. Unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good. Let's see. Verse 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can he understand his way? It is a snare to say rashly it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. Before I go any further, I actually want to highlight that one. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the heel under them. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost part. Please forgive me. I'm trying to highlight this section. I don't want to miss it when we're talking. Steadfast love and faithfulness preserve the king, and by steadfast love his throne is upheld. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts. Okay, I apologize for taking a minute there, but there was a couple of things I wanted to really highlight and point out as we were talking. In this section, in Proverbs chapter 20, he starts out by saying, wine is a mocker and strong drink a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. You know, he starts to turn from just generally speaking about wisdom in these broad terminologies. And Solomon starts to talk about the fact that there are specific ways in which people walk in integrity and uprightness and in temperance and the way we behave in our character and conduct. You know, if you and I saw a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old or maybe even a 15 or 20-year-old and they were getting drunk, we would be repulsed by that and we would be very upset. We would find that to be offensive. And if you don't, you need to check on your morals and character because there's something wrong. No child should be getting drunk. And we know that. And yet people make excuse all the time for being a drunkard, for imbibing in alcohol and giving themselves over to alcohol. Now you can say what you want about the alcohol situation. We're going to talk about that more in a few days on chapter 23, you know, and you can say what you want to about alcohol, but I've never seen any person get anything beneficially good out of alcohol that they drink to get, you know, for the purpose of drinking and getting drunk. You can say that there are some medicinal benefits. You can say that there are, you know, health, you know, as far as the, you know, rubbing yourself down with rubbing alcohol for the, you know, the viruses and stuff going out there, and that's fine. But this is not talking about that. This is talking about being a drunkard, someone who gets so involved in alcohol that they pour their life into it and they become embroiled with alcohol, embroiled with it. The alcoholic, he's fighting with alcohol and he has to have it all the time. You know, one of our pastors, an old pastor I had, he actually used to say, you know, the easiest way not to become an alcoholic is not to drink. And that's the easiest way not to become an alcoholic. You know, a Christian who's an alcoholic is an oxymoron. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, it tells us that no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. In multiple places in Scripture, you worry about that. But I want you to think about this. Not one of us would expect a child to become a drunkard. Why would we assume that an adult can and it's okay? Or that to the point where they have to have the drink, they have to have the alcohol. It's something that they can't live without. They can't be without. You know, that was a comment and a thought that several people, brothers of I've had in conversation when it comes to the measure and the mark of a biblical leader in the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says not given to wine, not given to much wine, not a drunkard, you know, not a person who doesn't sit long at the table. And it's very dangerous to be that type of person. We're going to talk about that more in a few days, but I just wanted to point that out quickly, that a child is assumed not to drink. Why is it that an adult can go ahead and get by with that? You say, oh, because they're adult. Okay. What makes that better? That the same argument goes with, you know, why is it that you get to watch rated R movies and the kids can't? Is it because their kids are 12, 13 years old, they're 14? They're 15, 16 years old, you know, NC-17 and all these things, you know, the basically the softcore porn. You know, we say it's okay for the adults to do it, but it's not okay for the kids to do it. And we rate that based on the world system, not on God's standards. You know, just saying, you know, might want to look into that. Let's see. It is an honor, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, and every fool will be quarreling. You know, as I said, children are known for, you know, being offended, being proud, being about themselves. They're known for, you know, they want. You know, children are primarily inward-focused people. And you have to teach them to be outwardly focused, to you know, set their gaze apart from themselves and on others, you know, to do good for others and to glorify God in the service of other people. It's not hard for a child to be so focused on themselves that they could care less about anyone else. Infants are that way, and you have to train a child in the way he should go. A lot of times when we don't train them, they become quarreling and angry and strife-filled. They want to be full of strife and anger. They want their way, and if they don't get their way, they're going to throw a hissy fit. Each one of us as adults, I mean, you think about it. As an adult, when you see somebody throw that hissy fit and they start, you know, blowing up and temper tantrum and all that stuff, when you see a little child do it, you put it on YouTube. You know, it's funny. You see this little girl on YouTube and she's screaming at her parents and everybody's got a video of it and it's so cute and funny. Take that same girl and make her 18, 19, 20, 30, and all of a sudden it's not funny anymore. You see, when we raise a child up to be a brat or selfish, absolutely inwardly focused, then that's what we're going to get. We're going to get that type of mentality. The purpose of the heart, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. It is our duty, brothers and sisters, it's our job to communicate with people, to talk with people, to try to help to figure out what they're about and to help to guide people in the ways of godliness and holiness. It's the pastor's job. It's the teacher's job. It's a mentor's job. It's your and my job to do those things. And I'd love for us to find our purpose in being strong, godly mentors for the next generation that needs it. It'd be a great thing if we actually paid attention to Titus 2, and as mentors, we raised up a generation of godly people who sought after righteousness and were taught to honor their father and mother and their parents and the older generation. You know, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 is one of my favorite Bible verses, and depending on the translation you have, the one I have memorized is, most every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a righteous man who can find. When I'm speaking to someone, it's, you know, children, adults, it doesn't matter, and I speak to them about the ways of God versus their way, I'll ask them this question. You know, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says that most every man will proclaim his own goodness. So would you consider yourself to be a good person? You know, young man, I know that you think you are, and older man, you know, young lady, older lady, I know that you think you're a good person, because the scripture tells me, I have an inward witness that tells me that you think you're a good person. Just about everybody does. And you'll proclaim it to the rooftops about that you're not that bad. You're not as bad as this person. You're not as bad as that person. And that's pride. That comes from a heart of a deceived heart that thinks that they are truly a good person of good, noble character. But Proverbs 20, verse 6, it lays the states the case for us. It says, most every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a righteous man who can find. You see, when you stand before a holy God, he is the standard of good. He is the standard of holiness. He is the standard of all things that are pure and true. And each one of us has to stand before him. I don't care if you're 6 or 60, right? 9 or 90. We all must stand before a holy God. And he is the standard of goodness. So here's the question. Are you as good as God? To be good, being morally perfect in thought, word, and deed. Are you that in that state today? Can you say that you can stand in the sight of a God that is holy and perfect, who is absolutely pure, and will search the heart of every man? See, you must be not only good, but righteous. You must possess what is positively right in the sight of God. You have to have done what's right in the sight of God. You can't just be neutral. You know, and it doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult. You can't be neutral. You have to be right in the sight of God. And the problem is there's none good, not one. There's none that are righteous. There's none that are good, none that seek after God. There's none that are holy. And we must stand before God, holy as God is holy. We have to be right in the sight of a holy God. We must be good. We must be just. We must be upright. Okay? The scripture here tells us we must be righteous. Now, here's the question. If you stood before God today, would he declare you to be good, holy, righteous, having done that which is right? Or would he say that you're a liar and a thief and a blasphemer and an adulterer? You know, the Ten Commandments is a good tool there. But I boil it down to this. Jesus was asked, and he said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So the question, have you loved God perfectly the way he deserves every second of all of your life the way he deserves? If not, you're in trouble. You haven't honored God. You haven't worshiped God. You haven't lived for the Lord. You haven't trusted the Lord with all of your heart. You haven't, you know, sought him perfectly and glorified him perfectly in your life. And that's the standard. But the good news is that Jesus did. You're guilty before a holy God. And if he did what was just, if he did what was right and good and holy and judged you by his commandments and judged you by that perfect standard, if he judged you based on your standing before a holy God, would he declare you to be righteous? Well, we know the answer is no. We know the answer is no. Because I can say I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I'm a blasphemer, I'm an adulterer at heart, I've been angry at people without a cause, I've done all of those things in my heart. And all those things pronounce me as guilty before a holy God. And if that's your state, if you've kept the whole law, and yet you've offended in one point, you've been guilty of all of it. So if you stand before God and he's holy and good and you're not righteous, then whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, you need one to pay your debt, to stand in your place, to propitiate. In other words, to satisfy the justice and wrath of God so that God can look upon you and declare you to be right with him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might be declared the righteousness of God." You see, we saw here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, that we must be righteous, and we're not. But before God, God decreed that he would send his son into this world, born of a virgin, born under the law. He lived the perfect life. He was tempted in all points like us, and yet he never sinned. And we have sinned all of our lives and never done that which is good and holy and just. We've done good things here on earth, but never quantitatively good and before a holy God, qualitatively good before a holy God. We stand before God guilty because the good we do for ourselves, not for the glory of God. Okay? Jesus says, "I do everything to please the Father, always." He's done everything to please the Father and always has. So he stands before God just and good, and he took our place for all who would repent and believe the gospel. Verse 7, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." It is a very important thing that you and I seek to walk in integrity and holiness and godliness. The moral example, the righteous example that we are before our children. You know, there's the old saying that your children will follow your footsteps, and they'll follow your footsteps wherever you lead. And unfortunately, when we lead unrighteously and wickedly, they'll follow that. When we compromise with sin, you know, whatever sin that you've got in your life, your children know about it, and they will do the same things you do, but they'll magnify it. You know, whatever sin that you have in your life, they'll magnify it. They'll do more. They'll do deeper. And you need to know that it can destroy them. So watch yourself, guard yourself, so that as the child walks, he sees his father and mother walk, and or she does. They see that father and mother walk, and they walk the way you do. Let's see. Oh, Hello, Wendy. How are you doing? Okay. Verse 16 says, take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it when he puts up security for a foreigner. When he makes pledges to be security for a foreigner. I heard a man yesterday on the radio. He does a call-in show, and a lady calls up and says, hey, I'm about to be a co-signer for my son-in-law or something like that. Do you think it's a bad idea? And if so, would I be responsible, or what would I be responsible for if I co-signed for this house? And the guy's like, are you crazy? You're responsible for everything. He's going to rent this house. You're responsible for everything. You are becoming security for this man, that no matter what he does, he could set the house on fire, burn the whole place down, and have a bonfire party right in the middle of it, and brag about, oh, I set the whole place down. You're responsible. So don't do that. Don't become security for anybody. Don't do that. It will destroy you. You know, verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. We need to teach children not to be gossips. We need to teach adults not to be gossips and slanders. And when they are slandering and when they are gossiping, because children love to do it. My kids went to a private school, and, you know, my daughter, she was in a class with a group of girls that there was a bunch of them. From one day to the next, it was, you're my best friend. And then the next day, oh, I hate you. And, you know, there would be groups of rotating drama, rotating hatred, disrespect, contempt, you know, and it would just rotate. And it was always based on, did you hear what so-and-so said? Hey, so-and-so said this. Hey, they did that. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by this? It was constant. Brothers and sisters, you can't allow that stuff to keep going. We've got to, you know, squelch that, you know, nip it in the bud, you know, as what's his name said, Gomer Pyle, I believe it was, on the Andy Griffith Show. Nip it. No, that was Don Knotts. He said that. You know, nip it, nip it, nip it. Let's go on down. A man's steps, verse 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How can he understand his way? You don't know the consequences of the actions you take today. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. You don't know what it's going to be like for you or your family, your friends, for anything you do. You know, so you better be careful and consider how you walk. Your children watch you. And how you live your life today is how they'll live their life tomorrow. Okay? So you don't know the consequences. How do you understand your way and the depth of the way that you walk? The way your children see you carry yourself and conduct yourself at home or whatever else. Maybe everything's going terrible at your home. Okay? How do you conduct yourself in the bad things? Will you praise the Lord even in the storm? Will you try to find ways that you can walk in holiness and godliness, even if you are in the midst of contention and strife? Okay? If you're a hothead, one that wants to blow up and has his way or her way, if you're a person that is always ready for the contentious battle, your children will be too. Your children will be too. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the wheel over them. Now, we could go ahead and talk about government, you know, in verse 26. We can talk about government all we want to. But what about your own home? We need to be people that push out sin. Adult, listen to me. Moms and dads, please listen to me. You know, even if you're not a mom or dad, I want you to listen to me. Your witness, your walk, your mentor ability, you know, the how you mentor people, it is so terribly important that you be actively mentoring and walking away from any appearance of sin or evil or wickedness. Don't allow it in your house. Don't be around it. Don't be You know, don't have it on the Netflix, you know, don't have it on the, all the other things, Vudu and whatever else, you know, I mean, you can get all of this wicked, vile stuff. I mean, everybody's talking about this Tiger King guy because he, some, you know, I don't know, I've never even seen it, but I hear everybody talking about it. And I read a bio, and my wife read a bio to me of this storyline. Why would I want to watch that? Why would I want to watch that? That's vile, right? Oh, it's not that bad. Let my children watch it. Let my children see me talk about it's not that bad. How much compromise does it take before it's that bad? How much compromise does it take before it is that bad? The music we listen to, the things we watch, and how we conduct ourselves is what our children will grow up to think it's not that bad. The more and more that we open the door up for our children to walk through into wickedness and sin, the more they will multiply it and amplify it in their lives. You know, my oldest children, they know I don't drink. I don't, you know, they don't watch me drink. I don't do it because of my witness and my walk. I don't do it because I have people in my congregation, in my church, who have flat out said, look, it would be a hindrance to me if you were there drinking as my pastor. Okay? And I'm not going to try to justify it. I'm not going to try to say, oh, I've got freedom and I've got Christian liberty. I don't drink because of my children. Okay? I don't drink because of my witness. You know, I'm not going to touch alcohol and let my children see me drinking and let my, you know, people, my friends see me drinking because. Okay? That witness, that walk, that character, that conduct, I want them to see me walking in holiness. And if they think it's sin or they think it's wicked, then they are going to do it if they see me doing it. If they think it's wrong, I mean, you think about it. How many potty words does a child say when they've heard it one time? Especially babies and little children, you know, they walk around, they hear a potty word, and next thing you know, they say it constantly over and over and over again. It becomes part of the vocabulary. Because it's a potty word and they're going to say it. They know it's wrong, or they hear it and you say, oh, don't say that because it's wrong. And they're like, ha, 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 and they do it again. They do it anyway. Because the corrupt heart, the dead corrupt heart, the heart of sin, the wickedness of this world, it is so enticing and it's so appealing. Our witness and our walk has to be strong. And in keeping with that, verse 25, it is a snare to say rashly it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. You need to be careful what you say is holy, what is of God, what's godly, what's not that bad. You need to be careful, because what you allow into your worship, into your life, into your character, your conduct, the ways you live your life, what you allow in is what you will have to justify before everybody in the world. Okay? We used to say it kind of like this when it comes to the alcohol thing. You can't have a, you know, witness conversation with the person that you're selling, that you're buying the alcohol from. You have to justify why it's okay for you as a Christian to buy the alcohol. You've lost your witness. And even when you do, you do have that witness, and you are talking to the cash register, the cashier, and you start talking to them about the things of God. They're looking at you going, yeah, Christian. Oh, okay. Yeah. My dad's a Christian too, and he was a drunk. He used to beat me and my mom and my, you know, kids and my brother and all that stuff. I'm not speaking hyperbole. You know, I've had a lot of family members that are or were alcoholics. And they've hurt themselves very badly because of the drunkenness of alcohol. And all of their children have walked in that same way. It's a snare to say this stuff is holy. It's a snare to say it's not that bad. Oh, I'm a Christian too. I've made my vows. I've prayed to the Lord. I've opened my heart up to God. It's a destructive snare for us to try to justify sin and make it holy. And I want to warn you that you got to stand before a holy God. And the Bible says that you will give an account for everything, every idle word, every thought, every deed, everything you've ever done, you'll give an account for thereof on the day of judgment. You'll give an account before a holy God. Christian, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for why it is that you didn't walk in holiness and why it is that you didn't take that opportunity to stand in holiness and that you compromised on sin. Verse 29, the glory of men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Well, most of us, as we get older, we start having stuff break down in our bodies. You see these kids, these teenagers running around, they're superheroes. They're mighty. They can do anything. I mean, you ask them, you know, and watch them. We all did it. As children, as teenagers, we could do anything. We had superpowers, and we were indestructible. As we get older, we're paying for it, aren't we? Our bodies are breaking down, and our bodies are just falling apart. But it says the splendor of old men is their gray hair. You know, that could be taken two different ways, their wisdom and knowledge, or just the fact that, you know, we don't have the strength and the stamina and the physique, so we look at our age and try to make out more than it is. You know, we try to make ourselves. I remember when I was 10 or 11 years old, 30 seemed like ancient to me. You know, now 30 is a distant memory. It's a distant memory. That was 17 years ago. So anyway, the last one here is blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost part. And this is not talking about physical violence. This is talking about the striking at sin, the striking at wickedness. You know, if you were in fear for your life every time you did something immoral, you wouldn't do it. If you were in fear for your life every time that, you know, somebody tried to say, you know, abortion clinics, for example, if you had to pay the debt for, you know, the sin of murdering a child at that moment, you wouldn't do it. Okay? You know, so think about how it is that, you know, your character, your walk, your conduct, how does it portray to children? Children, listen to your mom and dad. Listen to the mentors that God puts in your life. Listen to those sound teachers and walk in their way. You know, listen to them. Oh, wow. Listen to their praise and the worship on their lips. You know, what are they singing? Hopefully it's godliness, and hopefully it's they're speaking of the things of God, and their hearts are always towards the things of God, and they're trying to be a strong witness. You know, you may grow up to realize that you're not Superman. You know, my son used to run around in his little Superman outfit. He was Moo Man. You know, he's still our Moo Man. We love him all to pieces. And, you know, but as he gets older, you know, he's turned into a real strong, you know, superhero type. You know, he's a strong superhero type. My oldest son, you know, he was Superman. He was the you know, football and everything else. And he was, you know, just big and tough and strong. And, you know, now he talks about his back hurts and getting old. Man, I tell you what, getting old is fun, isn't it? It reminds us of our mortality. It reminds us that there is appointed a day for us once to die. And then the end thereof is the day of judgment. Do you know Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? Okay? Do you know him as your Lord? I hope you do today. And I hope you can trust in him and you look to him for wisdom and guidance and strength. If you are, you know, in the area and you're looking for a solid church, you're looking for solid fellowship, you want to be in fellowship with a godly group of believers, we'd love to talk with you more. If you are far away from us, you're needing a solid church, let us know, and maybe we can help you find one, and maybe we can help you with that. If you've enjoyed what we're doing, like and share and subscribe and hit the like button, and, you know, as I say, smash the like button, you know. you know, hit that subscribe button and keep up to date, you know, hit the notifications and, you know, we're trying to do this every day, you know, at the same time, 6:55, we go on at about 7 o'clock, we start. And, we're just here to glorify God, to worship His name. And we want to thank you this evening for being with us. Okay. God bless and thank you. And, find us on Facebook and send us a message and shout out and say hello. Okay. Thank you so much. And, God bless you. Bye bye.